Coming at you from the AO Studios, it's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D, and we've got a great show for you tonight. Or this morning.
Good morning.
Another morning.
Good morning.
Best season ever continues for the Dallas Mavericks. We're on eclipses 50,000 in points. And Rob Manfred is at it again. But we'll begin today's show with football. The San Francisco 49ers traded Deebo Samuel to the Washington Commies for a fifth round pick. Jayden Daniels gets another weapon. And also, the Chicago Bears traded a fourth round pick for Kansas City guard Joe Thuney. Chicago looking to protect their biggest asset. And late yesterday, we had the Raiders trade a third round pick to the Seattle Seahawks for quarterback Geno Smith. So, Z, as we enter into the new league season, which team got better?
Plus, you have DK Metcalf seeking a trade. You have the Seahawks releasing Lockett. The Seahawks are tearing it down, man.
Like, burning it.
They're just burning the shifts, and that's it. Like, it's over, Johnny. And then, meanwhile, apparently the Browns are at an impasse with Myles Garrett about whether or not they're going to honor his trade request.
Well, I heard he wants to meet with the GM or the owner, yeah. And they won't even have the meeting.
Jimmy Haslam said, go fuck yourself. Like,
get out there and play, bitch.
Nah. So,
who is this?
Who is this? So, as far as what we know and who got better, I don't necessarily know if the Commies were a Deebo away from competing with the Eagles.
Well, they are competing, right? I mean, yeah. They got to the NFC Championship game,
they
right?
They are, but I don't know if Deebo is the piece that would take them over the top last year. I'm not sure.
And we don't know how they're going to use him, right?
Right. Is he going to be like the Swiss Army knife role? But they have Brian Robinson. They have Austin Eckler. So you figure he's not lining up by the backfield. Debo's getting what Deebo wants, which is to line up on the outside. It makes the team better, but I still don't.
For a fifth
think
round pick, I mean, how could you go wrong? But for a fifth round pick, you can't go wrong. I mean, holy shit,
no,
that's a steal.
Considering the fact that Jerry Jones traded a fourth round, right? You're laughing. You know exactly where I'm going. Jonathan Mingo got you a fifth.
Woo!
Right.
We
exactly.
got our guy.
Trey Lance got us. Got you know. Ugh. It's Jerry, hang him up. But in terms of immediate impact and big impact, I like the Joe Thuney move. Like, you've already gone all in, right? You said Caleb's your guy. You built around him with weapons last year. The O-line was shit. And head coach was shit. Now you got rid of Eberflus. Now you're, you know, trying to impact this team with Ben Johnson as the head coach, and he may be bringing one or two of those pieces from the Lions, right? You start putting together, like, I think Zeitler's a free agent. You have a few guys.
If I'm not mistaken, they also made a trade with the Rams, and they got a center.
Yes, Johnson. So you're remaking this line on the fly with quality guys, right? Thuney was an all-pro last year.
Best guard in the league.
Best guard in the league. Playing out of position. And even then, he didn't equate himself poorly. He just was better
at
the
guard.
He's
not a left tackle.
Yeah,
he's not a left tackle.
No, that's not his job. His job is to...
It's not his strength.
Right. He can do it. It's not ideal. Kind of like Mekhi Becton. The Eagles moved him in. He was much better. Right?
He's a very big guard.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Well, that's another guy that they could possibly target for that line if they want to get the run game going. You have Mekhi Becton on that line, too. Just blow
former
people
jet.
Off the fucking... Former Jet. Blow people off the line. That would be the way to do it, because you want to copy the Eagles, right? It's a copycat league. how do the Eagles be that successful? They blow people off the line and they allow their skill position players like miles, not just yards, miles of empty grass. So of those two, I really like the Joe Tooney move. The Deebo is good, but they still have a ways to go. And let's talk about the Geno Smith one, because that was like, you know, we're here on the Clout Route Tour here, guys. I'm in Port St. Lucie with Gil from Fuck Clout, and we're just, you know, I'm waiting for I'm waiting at the airport for the plane to take off, and I see this on my phone, like, what? Geno to the Raiders? The fuck? What is this? I like it. I like it. Geno has demonstrated he's a good, professional, solid quarterback. The Raiders have Brock Bowers. They're investing in Max Crosby. They extended him. Like, I like what they're doing. Now, they need a better one than Jacoby Myers. Is that in the draft? Is that another trade with the Seahawks and you bring in DK Metcalf? Is that re-signing their buddy Devontae Adams? It's a new organization. It's a new administration.
Cooper Kupp is out there.
Yeah. You have options. You have options on the... I think D-Hop is a free agent if you want to go that
route. Marquise Brown, Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. You got options, man. So they could remake this thing on the fly and be competitive. Are they going to win that division? No. But they stand a better chance of not finishing in DFL. So there's that. And with this acquisition, it was only a third round pick. So it didn't break the bank. You still have the number 7. Where do you go now? Do they go the Boise State running back? Do they go with a wideout? Are they still in the Shedeur Sanders sweepstakes? Because Geno's 33. Right? Do you keep Geno for a little bit and then turn the reins over to Shedeur Sanders? I don't know. But the Raiders definitely got better. All three of these teams got better in incremental steps. But the biggest home run is Tooney the Bear. Hands down.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it was established once Ben Johnson became the coach that we are fortifying this line. And we're going to start by getting this. We're going to get the center from LA. We're going to go get Joe Tooney. And I don't think they're done.
No.
I think they also draft one or two guys. And they've made the commitment that Caleb Williams is our future. And we're going to protect our future. They have skilled players. They have the skilled position set. Their defense is pretty good. So I love this move. I love Joe Tooney. I think he's got 2 Super Bowl rings with the Patriots, and he's got 2 Super Bowl rings with the Chiefs. The guy can play, okay? This was clearly a salary dump by the Chiefs. I just don't know if it was the right one. I mean, and then they wind up franchising, Thompson, I think, or Smith? Tristan Smith?
Trey Smith? Yeah.
So that was the decision, right? It was like, okay, where are we going to go here? Joe Tooney is a little older, but, I mean, he is... I don't know, man. The fact that they pulled this off, and, like, you're telling me the Chicago Bears, the only people that thought about reaching out to the Chiefs about Tooney? Nobody else thought it would be a good idea to get a fucking all-pro guard for a fourth-round pick? Come on. Like... So I have to say, in my order, I think the Bears did a great job. That's number one to me. Number two, I think what the Raiders are doing is showing progress. They're showing progress as an organization, right? Devontae, you don't want to play anymore? You're fucking gone. You know, we're not taking any more bullshit. We're going to compete next year. Trading for Geno Smith means you're going to compete. You're not going to look stupid on the football field, right? Because if you don't have a quarterback, you look stupid. You look bad. No matter if you win or lose, you look bad. Geno is going to show that we're competent, okay? We're going to compete. They have Bowers, who's good. And I agree with you. They need another number one. But with the 7th pick, you could get the best wide receiver in the draft if you wanted to. You could bet the best running back in the draft if you wanted to. Like, you have that ability at 7. You could trade back, get draft picks, and still get the guys you want. So the Raiders are in a great position by making this trade. And again, it only costs you a 4th-round pick. And you look at these other teams who haven't made a decision yet on what they're doing with quarterback, like the Jets, like the Giants. Like, it only costs a 4th-round pick to get Geno Smith, or 3rd-round pick to get Geno Smith. Hello? I mean, I don't get it. And last I'd put is the Commies, because I don't know what, like, Debo gets hurt a lot.
Yeah.
But everybody in Kyle Shanahan's offense gets hurt a lot. Like, that is the kiss of death. So, friend of the program, but I mean, it's brutal. I mean, he's lining up wide receivers in the backfield and they're getting fucking shot by linebackers. I mean, not cool, dude. Not cool, bro. They re-signed Bobby Wagner. That's okay. I don't know if that's sustainable. He's really old. I don't know if he can cover. He can play linebacker. He can play the run. I don't know how good he can cover anymore. But I do think that was a bargain. It was a steal for a 5th-rounder. I don't know what the 49ers are doing. I don't know where they're going. I don't know who's playing wide receiver for them. I don't know if they might be thinking about getting Darnold, because Purdy's up for a new contract. So I don't even know how that's going to work. Definitely very interesting. You know, we're here we are. We're in March and we're still talking about football. So they're keeping it interesting.
Well, the new year's coming, man. This is when all this stuff is. This is why all these things are happening around this time. The new fiscal year starts, and then you're going to have the post June 1st designations too. You're going to have a lot of interesting machinations. You're going to have interesting goings on right now, but you definitely, like, it's intriguing. Like, we're just out of the combine. Like, it's heating up. We're only about, what, 6 weeks away from the draft, give or take?
Like, I think it's in May now. So
we'll call it 2 months then.
Yeah,
so
we're about
rubber
2 months.
The road, right? You really
well,
10 have
weeks
to...
probably. I think it's in the middle of May.
Okay. So we definitely, we're starting to turn it up a little bit, and we're really starting to, like, get that going. But rumor mills are, like, through the roof right now. Who's a package deal, who's not a package deal? And, like, it brings me to the Giants. And you talked about Devontae Adams. Like, I wonder, like, that gives me pause, right? Anytime we mention Devontae Adams, we have to mention his little buddy and whether or not they're a package deal. And our team's actually going to do that. And, well, apparently the Raiders are out on him. So it becomes a question of who is dumb enough to entertain this shit. And apparently the Giants are dumb enough to at least take a phone call. So this may break me. Like, this is real talk. This is therapy session right now. If the Giants sign Aaron Rodgers, this may break your boy, guys. I'm just telling you right now that this is tough.
What's the alternative?
You have a couple different routes to go.
Do you want Sam?
If the price is right.
If the price is right. The price is three years, 100 mil.
That seems fair. It's not a stranglehold contract. I think that would be fine. I would be willing to entertain it.
And then what, you trade back?
Could either trade back, or I can find another receiver to compliment Neighbors, because Slayton is a free agent. And I don't know if I necessarily want to go that route. Or I could trade back and field some offers to see what's going on. Absolutely.
What's his face?
Because what? You're not going to take Jonty. Because I think Tyrone Tracy's going to have a good career. I like him. I don't know if you're necessarily going to take him. They've been burned in the past by taking offensive linemen.
Diggs is a free agent too.
Diggs is a free agent. That's a different side of the Aaron Rodgers coin, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to, like, try and tank the front office. Stephon Diggs tanked the locker room. Could you imagine Diggs and Neighbors in the same locker room? I can't. Now, you tell me Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper is another guy.
Neighbors and Cooper could be interesting. Would the Giants go big game hunting for Coop? I can talk myself into that. I don't mind.
Giants should trade for Zach Wilson.
To throw the ball over this, then they're down mountain. Like, no, you're
Zach Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. Who would you rather have?
Ugh. God damn. We're revisiting the two bowls of shit theory. Zach Wilson, actually. I think I would say there's a higher upside with Zach
Wilson. There's upside there, right? There has to be. There can't be any worse.
Right, there's got to be.
Now, there's got to be. You got to play better than this, bro.
Right. I mean, MetLife has been a house of horrors for him, but you figure it's Brian Dable's system. Like, you give him another shot, right? You have competent people coaching him.
I'm surprised no one's talking about Justin Fields. I guess the tape is bad for him. And he started out so good with the Steelers. I'm so shocked. And this can't get done.
I think that people think it's a wrap. I think they think he's going to the Jets because of his relationship with Garrett Wilson.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm thinking the other thing. I actually think I'm hearing that his career is a wrap. Like, nobody's really interested in him as a starter or even as competing for a fucking position. Which is a shock to me.
That's wild. He was 4-2 last year before they made the switch to Russ.
I don't get it.
I mean, I guess.
How is he not getting a job? This dude was like a first round pick a couple years ago.
Like, he was highly regarded out of Ohio State, 10th overall, I think. I don't know.
And he played well. It's not like he's Zach Wilson bad, right?
He's not Zach Wilson bad. He had flashes, but, you know, he came from a reputable
program. He doesn't turn the ball over. He doesn't throw interceptions.
No.
He doesn't fumble.
Which makes it even weirder. Why the hell did Mike Tomlin so quickly proclaim, even training camp, Russ is our guy? And then Fields went 4-2, and they looked competent. They, dare I say, the Steelers' offense looked good.
Russ did look good last year in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Russ did look good, but then
he had more strength. He had more command of the offense, I think.
That's just stronger arm, too.
Stronger arm and just more command of the offense. Like, but understood it and had a lot to prove, right?
Yeah.
He also had a lot to prove.
And now the Steelers don't have either one of them. So.
Right. They also have the chance to bring either one of them back.
Right.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much. With FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com.
Speaking of chances, second chances abound now that spring training is here. And with that comes some position changes. You have the guys who are barely hanging on, like a Tyler Naquin, who's trying to remake his career as a pitcher. And then you have other guys, big name guys, who are changing position relatively late in their career. For example, noted trash can banger, Jose Altuve, is moving to left field. Okay. So Joe Espada announced that he's their guy moving forward, mostly left field. And with the Dodgers, Mookie Betts is going to give shortstop another go this year. So, which player, in your estimation, will have more success this year?
Well, I think we both could agree that Mookie's the better player, right?
Yep.
Okay. Mookie's the better player. I think he's the more versatile player. And he seems determined to make this shortstop thing work. This was something that he brought to Dodgers brass that he wanted to give it another shot. He feels like he can do it. So he really wants to prove that he can play shortstop. Now, the Astros thing is very confusing because it's later in Altuve's career. And he's only like 5'7", 5'8". And I don't understand moving that kind of player to left field. Does this remind you of the Alfonso Soriano thing? But I felt like Alfonso Soriano played a terrible second base.
Soriano was a butcher.
And that's why they sent him to left field. They're like, dude, just catch the pop-ups, all right?
They could have sent his ass in the left field stand.
If I'm hitting a shot to left and there's a person on third tagging up, I'm not worried about Altuve driver throwing me out.
No.
That motherfucker ain't throwing me out. So, and it's not like they have a guy coming up. So, I don't really understand why we're doing this. So, yeah, very strange.
It's confusing because you have Jeremy Pena at short. You brought in Isaac Paredes. Okay, no problem. Isaac Paredes plays third. He doesn't play second, he plays third. So, I would understand.
And first, I believe.
He does, but then you also brought in Christian Walker to play first.
Oh, that guy.
So, you got a relatively remade infield. I don't understand why you're moving Altuve there. It doesn't make any sense why you move Altuve there. Now, if you brought in Paredes and Bregman, if you re-sign Bregman, maybe. Because then you slot Bregman at second, you put Altuve in the outfield. Like, this smacks to me that they thought that Alex Bregman was going to come back. And now this is kind of like a panic move.
Interesting.
But Mookie's going to have the most success because I'm not saying shortstop is an easy position because it's not. It's a consistent position. Every baseball diamond, every shortstop is the same. The positioning to first base is the same. The distance from shortstop to third is the same. It's all the same. What Jose Altuve has to learn at this point in his career is the nuances of left field, right? You have the Crawford boxes in Houston, Yankee Stadium left field. You're learning that at age, 30-something, mid-30s? You're now learning how to play left field in Yankee Stadium. Good fucking luck. Right? Fenway Park. You're learning how to take the bounces off the green monster. It's a nuanced position. Right? He's a heady player. Like, don't get me wrong. Jose Altuve is a heady player. He's a gutty player. He knows how to make adjustments, clearly. You know, 5'7", maybe generous. But literally, you're too short. Get the fuck out of here. They went from that to MVP type player. So he can do it. It's going to be harder for him. It's absolutely going to be harder for him based on what's expected of him.
Yeah, and the other thing is now you're also closer to the fans, right? He's right. Never played there before. You're going to have chatter coming from the foul line, chatter coming from the outfield. Like, you're going to hear a lot of that, right?
Yeah.
It's the worst is when the ball's hit directly at you. Right. How are you going to react?
Right.
And then, you know, a lot of times you'll see, like, taller players like Kyle Tucker and George Springer, when they're running and the ball's hit over their head, they're tall enough to get it before it goes really over their head, right?
Right.
This guy, not so much. This guy, not so much. So, I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know how much production they're expecting from him. And you also don't know how much this is going to wear on his psyche. You know, is he going to be thinking too much about what he has to do on the field and then not perform well at the plate where really he's a menace? You know, we just saw Soto misplay a ball last week and he's been playing right field forever. Like, it's just... I've always enjoyed playing the infield as a baseball player. I never liked going into the outfield. And when I went into the outfield, I always wanted to play center field because I felt like I had better depth perception when I was there. And I had help from both the right fielder and the left fielder if I needed it. Again, I know the center fielder is supposed to get everything in between those positions, but I always felt like if I couldn't get it, there's somebody else here to help me. But when you're playing left field or you're playing right field and the ball is fucking ripped down the line and curving away from you, that's a bitch to make that play. Not everybody can make that play.
You have to negotiate, if I'm sliding, when do I start my slide so I don't break my ankle? So there's nuances, absolutely. Now, depending on the player, right? Some people can handle the out-in as opposed to the in-out. Like Craig Biggio turned from a great catcher to a good second baseman to a really good center fielder and then went back to second base. Like Craig Biggio was able to do that. Bryce Harper, right? He went from right to first. And he said he'd be willing to go back to right to accommodate like the signing of a top-level first baseman, either Vladdy or Pete. So it depends on the person. And I think that, you know, Altuve will make it work. Left field is also tricky because you need to have an accurate arm. You need to have some semblance of arm strength. As a second baseman going to left field, I don't know what that looks like. I'm just not sure, right? You know, like
I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying I'm not sure.
Right. I need to see it. Right? And if Espada and the Astros are comfortable with this, then I guess that's the way to go. But, you know, based on, you know, Mookie Betts' arm strength, Mookie Betts' age, Mookie Betts', you know, lateral movement ability, like he's just his general athleticism, I think that'll get him over Jose Altuve. But, you know, I'm not discounting Jose Altuve's heart. Like, you don't get this far. You don't get this far just on that. But, yeah, the Astros are in for some trouble. They definitely need some reinforcements here. Because I don't... On their 40-man roster... The only second baseman is Jose Altuve, right? Because he's still listed as a second baseman.
Like, right.
Where is this coming from? Who's playing that position? You know, I don't know. But, I mean, worst comes to worst, they could always move him back. But then you also have a giant hole in your outfield, too, because you traded Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
So...
People expecting big things from him, so see, should be interesting how well he plays this year.
Yeah,
over
and we're definitely
in Chicago,
playing on the north side with the Cubbies. That should be really interesting to see. But speaking of interesting, old Rob is at it again. Old Rob, old reliable, Rob Manfred. According to reports, he is considering a petition filed by Pete Rose's family to have his name finally removed from the ineligible list now that Pete Rose has passed. This would come posthumously, right? He died late last year. So, couldn't get this done while Pete was alive. Check. You figure, once he's eligible, Pete Rose is going in. It's a pretty safe bet. I mean, the all-time hit king. Should Rob Manfred seriously consider this, though?
Yeah, I don't like this at all. At all. Like, it took this man to die for you to finally, like, start considering it. And again, I'm a guy that's not a fan of what Pete Rose did, and I also don't think he should be in the Hall of Fame. He bet on baseball. It's a shame. It just sets a bad precedent for guys like Otani and everybody else. but I'm just trying to say, like, I don't particularly like this. I don't even like the fact that they're talking about this right after this man's passed away. It's almost like a slap in the face. Like, oh, now that you died, now I'll let you in. Like, it was something that was really important to him. And if you were going to consider it, you should have considered it while he was alive, not now that he's passed on. And again, I'm in the camp of I don't think he should get in, but I just think it's terrible for you now to consider it just because he's passed away.
Would you consider the Black Sox?
Right. Where does it stop?
Like, that's
the problem. That's the problem we're at. That's why you can't let the steroid guys in, because then they all get in. I mean, it's all or nothing here. Like, and And what are you going to do? So now when A-Rod dies, we'll start to consider him going in. When Roger Clemens dies, we'll start to consider them. Like, they don't get to reap the rewards of feeling great about getting into the Hall of Fame and while they're alive, and after they're dead, their family can enjoy it. It doesn't work like that, brah. So, no, I think this is terrible. I think it's morbid. I don't think it even should have been brought up. I don't think he should even say he was thinking about it. Pass next question. Like, don't even, it's not even worth your mentioning. The man passed away in September or October, whenever it was, and leave it at that. And, you know, you're on your way out soon anyway, so let the next commissioner, you know, decide on that. But as of right now, you just keep, yeah, I wouldn't say anything about it.
One can only hope that Rob Manfred is on the way out. Dude, this is, we're talking about legacy, right? Pete Rose's legacy. Rob Manfred's legacy as commissioner. What stamp have you left on the game? Pete Rose has left a negative stamp on the game, despite being Charlie Hustle, despite being the all-time hit king. He disgraced himself by betting on baseball. Mm-hmm. Yes, Major League Baseball is in bed with gambling now.
Yep.
They weren't then.
Right.
You can't apply current rules to past behavior. You just can't do that.
And the other part I want to bring up is, from what I've heard, I don't know how true it is, from what I've heard, he was given chances to make good on it. You know, they wanted him to come clean and admit to all the betting he did. They also wanted him to go down in the minor leagues and discuss, you know, what he did and try to make other players deter them from making the same mistakes. And he refused to do that. So it's hard for me to really sympathize with a man that didn't seem sorry about what he did. You know?
He was sorry he got caught.
I don't know if he cares. I don't even know if he cared about that, Z. I don't know if he cared about that. Like, I always talk about this. I've talked about it on this show. Andy Pettit admitted he did steroids, and he said he did it because he was trying to get better from an injury to help his team. Bravo, Andy Pettit. You have my respect, and I get it. You know? I can't remember another player that took that stance.
Even that wishy-washy Jason Giambi apology is better than what we got from Pete Rose. I apologize. I can't tell you what for, but I apologize. I fucked up. I'm not going to tell you how I fucked up. Not
exactly how. I'm not going to tell you how I did it.
But I did. Just know.
But I did. Thank you.
Just know that I did. And I'm sorry. Okay? So, like...
Aaron Rodgers' buddy.
Yeah. Just like Mr. Golden Thong, Jason Giambi. But... Like, that left a weird kind of hangover, but it's better than what you got from Pete Rose. It's like, fuck you. So what? Now, not only am I not going to be apologetic, I am going to troll and set up autograph signings outside in Cooperstown. Hall of Fame weekend. I'm going to go to Vegas, and I'm going to have a really long table. I'm going to have a long line at my table.
And he signs Hit King.
He sure does. You know, I told this story when I was in Vegas for my 21st with my brother. We went and Pete Rose was, you know, in the mall at Caesar's Palace. And I'm like, you should be in, Pete. And he was like, yeah. Now I don't think that anymore. I don't think that anymore. Like, if that's the case, you know, it becomes a case of you let everybody in. But then maybe that's what it is, though. Like, you have a specific room for them. Like, it's a toilet. Or it's the janitor's closet. Or it's something like that. There's the dark history of the game. It's in this tiny, tiny room. And, you know. But, no, absolutely not. This is a slap in the face to the sport. And, shocker, Rob Manfred is... allegedly championing this slap in the face to the sport. But if the guy didn't want it when he was alive, don't give it to him when he's dead. If he could, I think he wanted it
on his
terms.
Exactly, on his terms.
You can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, that's not how life works.
At least that's how I felt about it. I felt like he really didn't care. No. He didn't care.
And he was being welcomed back into the game, though. Like, he was, he was carving out a good analyst career. Like, that was, he was good. All he had to do, even if he didn't mean it, we've all made apologies that we don't mean. Be sincere in the moment and shut the fuck up afterwards. But Pete had the problem. Pete Rose had the problem of not being able to shut the fuck up. Just feign sincerity and move on. Or just do the fucking Mark McGwire. I'm not here to talk about the past. Mark McGwire had how many years in the league as a hitting coach?
Yes. And I do appreciate that about Mark McGwire, is that he's, I feel like he's trying to get it in another way, because I believe he's won one or two World Series as a coach.
Mark McGwire, so clearly, it wasn't disputed that he knew about hitting, which is why the same thing about Barry Bonds. You can't dispute what these guys know. And when Barry Bonds tried to coach the Marlins, I'm sure he found out the hard way. Like, these guys ain't me. Because I heard this thing on Up in Smoke, or All the Smoke.
I love that show.
Yeah. Like, he thinks he can still hit 100 mile an hour fastball. Barry Bonds is like, put it right here, I'll do it. I'm just changing what the ball is catching. Instead of the glove, it's going to be the bat.
I like that.
Fucking genius. Like, Barry Bonds is the Greg Maddux of hitting. And that's, it's a shame that he had to go down that route. Same thing with Pete Rose. Like, these guys had something and brought something good to the game, and they couldn't help themselves. And they fucking ruined it. That's their choice. And because of that, they should not be rewarded for making a bad choice. But we're a very forgiving society lately.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood.
Speaking of forgiveness, I don't know if there will be any forgiveness anytime soon for Nico Harrison. Oh my god. This terrible season continues for the Dallas Mavericks. Kyrie Irving tore his ACL on the way to the basket, and oh my god. Driving in, he wrecked his ACL, did the Kobe, finished his free throws, and then hobbled off. So kudos to that. He's probably going to miss the end of this season, for sure, and possibly most of next year. Mind you, this team also traded Luka Doncic, in case you forgot, for Anthony Davis, who... guess what? You'll never guess it. He's hurt. I can't believe it. Anthony Davis is hurt. He's out another month with a groin injury. They also lost Prosper. He's hurt. He's probably out for the season with a shoulder. No, wrist. With a wrist. And ownership, in light of all this, they're raising ticket prices for next season. Have the Mavericks and Nico Harrison written the book on how to sink a franchise in 30 days.
All right. Like, I am a Mavericks fan, and this really fell apart quickly. Oh, my God. Holy. How did this happen? And I'm starting to be in that camp of this is all planned. An effort to devalue the franchise so they can move it to Vegas. I'm starting to get into that camp because I can't believe what's happened. I mean, you talk about a situation where you had a young star, 25, 26 years old, one of the best players in the league. You're like, okay, we're going to trade him away. All right, what are you getting for him? We're going to get Anthony Davis. And what else? We'll get another player. Okay. No draft picks? Nothing? Okay. And why are we doing this? To win now. All right. I guess I could see that in like a 2 or 3 year window. All right. I guess I'm on board with this. Then Anthony Davis gets hurt. It's like, oh, shit. All right. Well, he'll be back in a month or so. We should be able to make the playoffs.
Kyrie, by the way, has been playing out of his mind, playing phenomenal the last, like, this whole season, really. MVP-type player. And then he goes down by tearing his ACL, and if I'm not mistaken, I believe he has an opt-out either next year or the year after. So, and the people who own this team now, because Mark Cuban doesn't own the team outright anymore. He's no longer a minority owner. They pushed him out, so he doesn't really have, he has no say on basketball at all. And these people who own the team are from Vegas. They're from the Sands Hotel. And just like, and now you're saying you're going to raise ticket prices. And I'm thinking that they're raising ticket prices, right? So that they can show less attendance. Because people go to Mavericks games. And if they can show less attendance, they can, you know, really try to move the team to Vegas. Because here's the thing. It's like, I've worked in ticketing before, right? There's a way to go about raising ticket prices, right? And you don't raise the tickets in the 300s from $22 to $27, right? You raise the tickets on the floor from $400 to $460 or $480. So you really don't announce a price increase. Really, prices are staying the same, right? We're leveling it everything out. We're making the floor and the lower bowl more expensive because those people are going to pay those prices, but we're not going to raise it throughout the whole thing, right? And to say that now, to bring that out now, to talk about it at this point in this juncture, when you've made terrible moves this season and you lost your star players and you know you're not going anywhere anymore and your future is looking terrible, it's just not a good PR move. It's not the right way to increase revenue for your team.
Some of these guys are furniture movers. That's what this is. Major League. That's what this is. We're going to put together a team that's bad enough to relocate to Miami. The problem is in the NBA, there's already a Miami team. So Vegas is the answer, right? They've been touting, they've been
courting. So you're feeling the same way now?
Yeah, I think so, man. It's inexplicable to me. It's inexplicable.
Because you couldn't trade Luka for draft picks, right? Because draft picks creates hope, right? It creates hope. We don't want hope. We want despair, desperation for like the next 10 years to make this happen. But Dallas is a big city, which is the only part I don't get.
Well, they're not getting considerations from the city that they're going to get from Vegas.
Right.
So that's the thing.
Right.
There's elements of the town not playing, the city not playing ball with them.
Did Mark Cuban know that this was the plan? That's the other part that I'm curious, because he still is a part owner. So he's sitting in on the meetings. Like, does he know that this was part of the plan? And is he on board with it? Because he also thinks to himself, down the line, there's value here. Not now, but down the line there is.
Draft pick situation, right? You trade Luka for draft picks. You can build your team through the draft, or you can trade them for another superstar. Like, that's the avenue that you could go. But like, tearing this down, because that's what this was. It was an effective teardown. When we put the win now, we're fucking the future. Right? You have to think about that.
Fuck them picks.
Now, in the short term, it works, right? Ask Les Snead. To a degree, ask Howie Roseman. That may catch up to him later. Ask Andrew Friedman in about 10 years for the Dodgers. If you go all in now for whatever, and you have to be concerned about what the future holds. This situation, You're absolutely right. If this was Mark Cuban, Mark Cuban would never have entertained any of this if he was still the majority owner of this team. Like, he was so ingrained in the community. He was ingrained with the fan base. Right? Are the Adelsons sitting with the fans? I don't think so. And if they are, I hope they're being pelted with tomatoes. Like, Nico Harrison sat with the fans in LA and he got serenaded with the Thank You Nico chant. It doesn't make any sense. And to piss off your fan base by raising ticket prices, right? Really, what's the incentive for them to go?
There isn't. And that's what you're trying, in my view, that's what you're trying to create. Yeah. You're trying to create, I'm not re-upping my season tickets. I'm not buying tickets. I'm not going to these games anymore. Like, that's what you're trying to do.
Right.
Because if you wanted to do this subtly, or you wanted to do it where nobody feels it, you kind of spread it out.
Right.
And you don't, right? And you make, there's ways to make changes where only the people in the lower bowl feel it and not everybody feels it.
Right.
The way they announce it, it's everybody's feeling it.
Like,
it's going up in the whole arena.
Let him eat cake.
And you're trying to raise revenue. But you are already a very valuable franchise in the league.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
Remember, or always remember, one of the things that you can control when you're controlling revenue is salaries.
Yeah.
They dumped a lot of salary, right?
They did.
Because they don't have to pay Luka. And they were going to have to pay him. You're not going to be paying Anthony Davis.
No, you're not going to be paying
Kyrie.
And now
Kyrie Irving is likely going to opt out.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm not going to bring him back.
Right. No. This particular ownership group, no.
And again, their owners, they can do whatever they want. They can, right? You can't get upset at a way someone runs their team.
You can't. There are instances, right? Like we talked about the Pittsburgh Pirates, how they've been shit for a better part of 100 years. Yes, you can't tell teams how to run their franchise, but if it's a perennial, it's perennial dog shit, you can kind of help them out. Think about the Giants in the 70s.
They're
perennial dog shit. It is. No offense to the city of Pittsburgh. Your baseball team is perennial dog shit. Sorry. But think about when the Giants in the late 70s and early 80s, the league intervened and sent them George Young. After the Bernie Madoff thing, the league intervened and sent Sandy Alderson to the Mets. Yes, I know there was an interview process, but Sandy Alderson was getting that job to fix the mess. So there is an element of intervention that can take place if you can prove that they're trying to tank this franchise. You know, owners can do what they want, but I mean, you can't out and out, like, it just fucks with the integrity of the game. And I don't appreciate when the integrity of the game gets messed with. Now, say she gets what she wants. Say they get what they want, right? They get the out. They're going to go to Vegas. What are you going to do then? Are you going to try and buy players? Because...
Yes.
Here's the problem with that.
That's what they're going to do.
They can try all they want, though. But this is a lasting kind of situation, right? Like, people remember these things. Teams, you know, you remember this stuff. I think so.
I don't know, Z. Remember, the Browns moved to Baltimore, right? And they went and drafted well. And they got good players. Right?
They did. But the city of Cleveland didn't forget about that, right?
Nope. And they haven't come back yet.
Yeah. So they still haven't rebounded from that,
right?
Even though they got their team back in 99. So fan bases don't forget. teams, I don't think, players
but
don't
yeah,
forget.
But you're talking about a fan base. I don't think you give a shit about that. Yeah. Your question was, is can they buy players? And they will buy players. 100% they're going to buy players.
I don't know if they'll buy players either, because players will remember this too. They'll remember that that their Supermax player got shipped out before he could sign the contract. They remember that they'll bring in the aging bones of Anthony Davis. Like, they're...
$500 million, he washes that away. Washes it away, man. It 100% washes it away.
Well, that's a bigger...
Because that's what we're talking about. That's how much it's going to be. It's probably going to be over that, right?
Yeah.
By the time that they're ready to really get started again, it's going to be over that. They'll probably...
Well, what's going to happen first? Will the Mavericks get to Vegas, or will there be a lockout because of a CBA issue?
The Mavericks will get to Vegas.
Because 500 mil is obscene.
Like, it's going to be stupid.
In baseball, it's obscene. Like, you and I have already said it. 2026 comes around, Major League Baseball, the players are getting locked out. Like, I can see it from here. So, you know, we need to start getting our arms. We need to start getting ready, because they may need scabs. They may need scabs. I'm just saying. Broken down 40-year-old catcher with bad knee. I am Jake Taylor. All right, perfect.
He ain't cut you yet.
Your wife and my kids. But it's not sustainable, man. $500 million for one player.
Who knows what else they'll be promising them?
Yeah.
Especially if they have a Vegas franchise and everything that Vegas brings.
Right. You're going to play in the Sphere. Whatever.
Oh, shit.
Or you're going to broadcast the game on the Sphere. So, but then why would I go buy a ticket? Like, that's some weird shit, man. But I don't know. I think she poisoned the well. I think the Adelsons poisoned the well here. And the fans would be within their right to say, fuck you, we're not coming back for the rest of the year. You fucked this up royally. Because what else do you see, though? It's not just that the Mavericks are falling and all of their players are injured. Now you see Luka and the Lakers rising. They're second in the conference. So you're getting your nose rubbed into it by both ends. So if the fans wanted to walk out and boycott, shit, they would well be within their rights. But an NBA ticket is pretty goddamn expensive. So more, you know, if they can't recoup those funds, their asses are going to be in those seats, unfortunately.
For all you grill masters, green thumbers, DIY aficionados, and home repair heroes in the Richmond, Virginia area, if you're looking for personal service quality products and a convenient shopping experience, then look no farther than Thacker Ace Hardware in Colonial Heights. Owner Don Rackley and his team of local experts have everything you need to tackle every project around the house. I'm talking Benjamin Moore paint, Milwaukee and Craftsman power tools, plumbing, electric, hardware, the works. For you green thumbers, their nursery department is top notch, and I wouldn't be me if I didn't mention the grills. They have Weber, Blackstone, Big Green Egg, Traeger. I want one of everything. Give them a call today at 804-766-4223 and see how they can assist you. Or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. That's Thacker Ace Hardware, 804-766-4223, or swing by 27 Dunlop Village in Colonial Heights. Thacker Ace is the place with the helpful hardware folks.
Speaking of asses in seats, was your ass in the seat when LeBron James scored his 50,000th point this week? Because he has now hit that point total for regular season and postseason combined. He is the all-time leading scorer. Now, completely, it wasn't just regular season plus playoffs. Now it's the whole enchilada. LeBron is the man. There's another chase happening right now. Washington Capitol great Alexander Ovechkin is 9 goals away from Gretzky's all-time goals record single season. Regular season, mind you. Which is more impressive, LeBron's 50K or Ovi's 9 away from Gretzky's regular season record?
You know, I think my answer is going to surprise you. I'm going to say that I think Ovechkin's is much more impressive because I think this was a record that nobody thought would ever be broken, right?
Yeah.
I never thought any of Gretzky's records would be broken. He's the great one. And Alexander Ovechkin broke his leg earlier this year, missed a month, and came back and is lighting it up still. By the way, his team is in first, I'm pretty sure. They're like one of the best teams in the league.
They're the best team in the Eastern Conference.
A very, very impressive season by him. LeBron's is remarkable because he passed Kareem, but I never thought he passed Malone, right? Malone was number one? Kareem. He passed Kareem. But I never thought that was not obtainable. I never thought that was not possible, that someone would one day come along and score more points. The thing that's, I think what's impressive about what LeBron has done is not necessarily how many points he's scored, but how long he's played at such a high level. That's the impressive part of LeBron. Not that he's got 50,000 points, but that he's been able to essentially play over 20 years at this high level where he doesn't get hurt, he doesn't miss games, he's still just as good now as he was 10 years ago. That is one of the most impressive things about LeBron. And somebody asked, do you think LeBron's record will be broken? And I'm going to say yes, only because of the way the game is played now, how many three-pointers are taken, and that's the only reason why I think someone will one day break LeBron's record. But we also forget that he didn't go to college. He went straight from high school to the league. That was 4 years, that, you know, or 3 years or 2 years or a year, however you want to look at it, where he wasn't wasting time in college. And the amount of times he went to the playoffs and the amount of times he went to the finals and all the games he's played, all the miles on him,
the Olympics
is more impressive. The Olympics, all the miles that are on him is more impressive than the 50,000 point mark. But 50,000 points is a number that's like, holy shit, like, wow, that's a lot of points. But for Ovechkin to break a record that I never thought would be broken is almost like DiMaggio's, you know, hit streak. I don't think it'll ever be broken. I'd be shocked if somebody ever broke that. Cal Ripken's Iron Man streak, I'd be shocked if that ever got broken. Like, this is that kind of record that Alexander Ovechkin is about to break.
For sure. Now, let's do an apples-to-apples comparison, because one is regular season only, and the other is the regular season and playoffs, right? So Gretzky still has the regular season and playoffs record. He has 1,016 goals. Ovechkin has 957. So, unless Ovi, in his year 39-40 season, can somehow put up a 50 goal season, he's got to put up a 50. Yeah, this season is not over. But if he has to basically score 80 goals. Good luck between now and then. Put up 80, and not get hurt. Good luck. But in terms of apples to apples, like, Gretzky's still the man in that regard, because he's the great one. He's the best.
Like, great one.
And the fact that they tried to, it's interesting, because Crosby, right, he was the next one. But I gotta say, despite all of the team success, right, despite all of the Stanley Cups, despite all of the accolades, Team Canada, Ovi has outshined Sidney Crosby. I gotta say, his star shines brighter than Sidney Crosby.
Very interesting. It's an interesting team.
Yes, LeBron, from a longevity standpoint, is impressive. Like,
Sidney has more championships, though, right?
Sidney,
more,
yes,
Stanley
he
Cups?
He does.
But I'm assuming Ovi has more MVPs?
I believe so. I know he's got a scoring title in Sydney.
You talk, I'll go to the internet.
Yep. So, you know, LeBron's longevity is something to marvel at. Absolutely. playing from age 18 to age 40 against men, grown-ass fucking men, rarely sitting out. Like he had a couple of injuries later in his career, but nothing that, you know, but he put together a good solid chunk of time that he was able to compile these points, right? He was able to score. You have to take into account the threes, like you mentioned. It's easier to score numbers, right? Because you have the three versus the two. Like it's easier to rack up numbers. Ovechkins only count for one. So that's just the nature of scoring. It doesn't sound as impressive because they count by one. Sorry. But I gotta say. All
right, so Sidney has two MVPs, 2007, 2014. That's the Hart Trophy, right?
Yeah.
And then OV has it three times.
All right, so
2008, 2009, 2013.
So you could argue that OV's had a better career. There's an argument there. There's definitely an argument that could be had. It's like Jordan versus Kobe, right? Kobe is a great scorer, but is Kobe the best player ever?
No.
Like, well, Sidney Crosby is not the best player ever.
One of the best scorers
either.
Of all time.
Yeah. But he's a great winner. Like, these are the things that you can, these are the nuances that you can parse with sports. And for me, it's more impressive that Ovechkin even sniffed Gretzky. Mostly because hockey's such a more physical game, right? If basketball allowed guys to check, think about that. Think about that. If it was like the mid-90s where you could throw a shoulder into somebody and then maybe it would get called. Like, okay, now you have my attention. But Ovi has to deal with physical play from the other team. He delivers. Like, Ovechkin's a train on the ice. When he gets going, like, he's delivering the paint, not just receiving it. So that's impressive too. The level of physicality that Ovechkin has to withstand, it's night and day, right? Because the NBA has started to legislate that stuff out, starting with, you know, the Bruce Bowen foot under the shooter, which Jalen Brunson got caught by, which we'll talk about later. But defense has been legislated out of the NBA to a good degree. The NHL, you're still allowed to check. You're still allowed to do everything you need to do. Offensive changes in both leagues have kind of hastened this process. Gretzky had to play with a two-line pass. Gretzky had to play with the clutching and grabbing. You know, these are the nuances of the game that are generational. And as generations go, you're absolutely right. They're going to find a way to eliminate even more stuff so the numbers get even more inflated and guys look even more prolific. In both sports, in sports in general, they're artificially proliferating these guys. But it's okay. Like, that's the nature of the thing. That's the nature of the beast. That's what we're here for. But in terms of a physical standpoint, I mean, Ovechkin's he's a freak of nature. He's Wolverine. Like, who breaks their leg and then comes back in that short of a... and is still productive? Like, it's mind-boggling that Alexander Ovechkin is that guy. Right? There's a wrestler, PCO, he's not human. No, Alexander Ovechkin is not human. Like, that a broken leg... No, I'm back, Skip. It's been like a week. Said I'm back.
I got this.
All right. Okay. Top line with Wilson. Let's go.
You want to play? I don't care.
You're just the best player in the league.
Play. Okay.
But that's, you know, you can't be mad. Like, I was joking in our production meeting. I was joking with you about, like, Yawn. LeBron has 50,000 points. That's impressive. It is totally impressive. I'm being facetious when I say that. But
I think we take for granted. I don't think in our lifetime we'll see another player like LeBron.
No.
He makes the best basketball player. I was arguing with people about this at work. Where they're saying, well, he's a pass-first player. I was like, no, he's not a pass-first player. He makes the correct basketball play. If he's triple-teamed, somebody's fucking open.
Right.
If he's going to pass the ball to the open guy and trust his teammate to make the shot. I've seen Kobe shoot over five guys. I've seen Shaq dunk on five guys. But I've seen Jordan pass it up in clutch moments to Kerr, to Paxton. He makes the correct basketball play. He takes care of his body. He does the right thing off the court. You never hear about LeBron in any trouble.
No.
Scandals. And it would have been so easy for a young 18, 17-year-old kid to get mixed up with the wrong group of people. And he didn't.
Right.
I think that is another remarkable part of him. And after all these years, he's managed to stay healthy, eat right. You don't hear him messing around with women. You don't hear him. He has kids. He takes care of his kids. He doesn't have kids with multiple women. You know, you don't hear about like strip clubs naming their area after him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's just a stand-up guy. And I mean, he's not my favorite player, but it's hard not to be impressed with the statistics and what he's been able to do. I mean, LeBron and I came out of high school the same year.
Right.
Like, I haven't picked up basketball in four years.
In an alternate timeline, I'm posting this with LeBron, and you're like,
he's talking about me.
Yeah, exactly.
Earth 616.
Right.
In the multiverse.
Right. In an alternate timeline, you're talking with Ovechkin, and I'm the leading scorer in NHL history.
I still think you're Jake Taylor in that other universe.
Completely Jake Taylor. I gotta put my knee brace on before later. The meniscus is healing, but it's not there yet. I gotta do catch and grow.
In an alternate universe, you're talking to Robert. You're talking to Thorne in his solarium.
Yes, exactly. Cut the crybaby.
Roger
shit.
Thorne. You're talking to Roger Thorne in his solarium about not diving for balls.
You tank another play like you did today. I'll cut your nuts off. From down your
throat. Stuff down your fucking throat. Coffee?
Oh my god. But we do. You bring up an interesting point. We do take for granted how great these guys are. We do, and we're always quick to anoint the next guy. Like we anointed Connor McDavid,
who is phenomenal.
He's great. Connor McDavid is a great player. Is he going to touch Ovechkin? I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like who we anoint? Who did we anoint in the NBA? Like who's the next LeBron? Like
I think they're trying to line it up so it's. You know, they actually have been trying out guys, right? They tried out Giannis. They tried out Jokic. They're trying out Tatum now.
Yeah.
They tried out Luka. They've been trying out guys.
Could it be Cooper Flagg? Maybe. Who knows? But LeBron is a perfect storm of the time, right? Like you mentioned, 18 years old out of high school. Now that you have to do the one and done. Or there are other ways to go around circumventing college through the G League or international play, but LeBron was one of the few successful high school players, right? LeBron, Kobe, KG, that's your trinity right there of successful high school players who were ready. Oh, T-Mac, we'll throw in T-Mac too. So, you know, it was a different time. Again, recruiting rules are different too, right? Like you have, the one and done situation, like I mentioned. Like you can't immediately, you're going to lose those 3-4 years, 2 years, whatever it may be. So I think we just need to marvel in it. And I think we do need to revel in it. But I, for one, am kind of tired of looking backwards. And that's all sports is. I understand that old heads are defending their guy, the young guys defend their guy, and the even older people defend the guy that, you know, that was their guy. I understand how that works. But I think we need to stop, and I really think we need to appreciate these guys in the moment in an unvarnished way. So turn off your TV, mute your TV, watch the game. Mute the sound. Don't listen to the pundits. Don't listen to the commentary. Just watch for yourself and appreciate the greatness in front of you. It's there. And it's easier to appreciate when you don't have people beating it over your head about how great people are or taking up for their guy. So enjoy it, because for both guys, whether now, whether a year from now, whether 2 years from now, they're not going to be around. So appreciate it while it's here, and then celebrate it once it's gone.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. PopStarsBalloons.com offers spectacular balloon decor for all of life's events, specializing in custom balloon creations and installations for private events, corporate and school functions, photo shoots, brand events, and fundraisers. Led by certified balloon artist, the PopStars Balloon team shape balloons into custom works of art. PopStar Balloons provides full concept balloon design, build and installation services, as well as pre-assembled decor pieces available for pickup or delivery. Popstar Balloons is a woman-owned, small family business focused on providing professional balloon services using only high-quality, 100% biodegradable natural latex balloons made in the U.S. and Italy. They consistently prioritize the safest use and handling of balloons in a sustainable and responsible manner. Popstars Balloons is located in Westchester County, New York, but likes to party at events throughout New York City, Connecticut, Long Island, and New Jersey. Popstars Balloons can also accommodate balloon decor services for destination events. No event too big, no event too small, and their custom personalization service is the perfect touch. They also offer a full line of event decor options like backdrop, prop rentals, tablescapes, dessert table setups, custom signs, and they always deliver with a smile. Whether you're looking for gift balloons, classic decor, or large-scale design for a big impact, Popstars Balloons will create the perfect decor for your theme, vibe, and space. So if you have an idea in mind or need inspiration, Popstars Balloons decor will be the cutting edge and spectacular. Visit PopStarBalloons.com to pop your next event.
Bullshit or no shit? We're going to debunk this week's most controversial topics right
now. All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either bullshit or no shit. Bullshit or no shit. Number one, the next man up mentality will work for the New York Knicks after Jalen Brunson rolled his ankle.
Yeah, who's that going to be?
Bullshit.
I mean, you saw him in that overtime game with the Lakers, taking the ball and really getting buckets. Like, they couldn't stop him. I mean, really, it's unbelievable how well Jalen Brunson has taken his game to the next level. And I've never been a believer of the next man up mentality. And I think what you have to do is find other ways to win, focus on other players. It's not the end all be all for the Knicks. They're still in third. It's only going to be 2 weeks. But to say that it's next man up, that's a discredit to Jalen Brunson. That's like if LeBron went down and someone would say next man up.
Right. Well, like you say, what do we have to do? You got to build them in the aggregate. Where are you getting?
We're replacing in the aggregate.
That's it. Like, where are you going to get the guy? Who's bringing up the ball, right? Turk McBride? Cameron Payne? Or like, what is the situation here? Like, that changes things. Like, Jalen Brunson is the primary ball carrier for this team. Like, he sets the offense. As the point guard, you set the tone. So it's complete bullshit that it's next man up. It's not like they had, like, a Jason Terry on the bench. It's one thing if you have a veteran guy at the end of his career who has been there and done that. Like, when Jason Kidd was on the Knicks, right? A guy like Jason Kidd would be great in this role. Come off the bench. He knows how to facilitate. He knows how to run an offense. No offense to Turk McBride. You ain't Jalen Brunson. No offense. I mean no disrespect. You are no Jalen Brunson. So for the next 2 weeks, I got to say they have to figure out a way to make this offense run through Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
He's got to be the guy. Or 3-and-D with Mikal Bridges. Chuck and defend, but they're gonna have to weather the storm. But at this point in time in history, and at this point in season, Jalen Brunson is irreplaceable. So manage the best you can, but no, they're gonna. If by working, we mean staying afloat. But if we mean working, actually being successful, complete bullshit. Not going to happen. Rest up, Jalen. They're going to need you down the stretch. Bullshit or no shit. Number two, the Phoenix Suns will not even make the play-in game.
All right. I'm going to say no shit. Because there's just, if you watch them play, there's just no cohesion. They don't talk to each other. Like, during timeouts, everybody just goes on the bench. Nobody's talking. There's no hype. There's no, like, energy. There's no enthusiasm. And it seems like they have disregard for what their coach is saying to them. This team should not be in 11th place or 12th place.
Nope.
This team should be at the very worst 6th. You know, the Mavericks being terrible might help them move up a couple of slots, but I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. And maybe if the Mavericks don't want to tank their season, maybe next year, Kevin Durant's the guy they go and get.
Interesting. Oh, interesting. Kevin Durant is pretty much, he's done in Phoenix. He said as much. They're trying to facilitate a trade. Couldn't happen. I'm kind of sick of that. I'm kind of sick of Kevin Durant, too. I'm not happy here. Wah. We said,
well, he just chases experiences, Z.
Yeah, well,
that's what he does.
But we chastise Jimmy Butler, right? We'll chastise Jimmy Butler for wanting out of a situation. But Kevin Durant, he's just chasing experiences. So let's cover, not us, but media in general, let's cover Jimmy Butler and Kevin Durant the same way, as petulant children. Can we frame that, please, that they're both being petulant children? Let's do that. I gotta say bullshit. I think they're gonna make it.
Look at you, a little believer.
Well, it's
you're a little believer.
I'm not
I
believing
like
in them. I'm believing in the fact that the Mavericks suck. like this is absolutely terrible. And I don't think Anthony Davis coming back is gonna help them. The Mavericks are 32-32 right now. You lost Kyrie, you traded Luka, you lost Anthony Davis. Pardon me if I don't believe in the rest of the team to keep this thing afloat. This is where, right, you have Devin Booker, you have Kevin Durant, you have Bradley Beal. You have veterans that you can lean on who can take you down the stretch. And you're 100% right. It's all drama. It's all bullshit. And the more they talk about it not being drama, just reinforces the fact that the drama's there. Because Kevin Durant takes it to task. you see our locker room for 5 minutes and then you call it toxic. Dude, if they can diagnose it in 5 minutes, that's a problem. If it's that bad that you can see it in just being around you guys for 5 minutes, that's an issue. Can they subjugate their ego? And it's NBA, so you know it's a professional athlete. Chances are probably not. But can one of them take the reins and say, "Get on my back, boys, let's go"? Kevin Durant would be that guy, but he's also getting into like shoving matches with Budenholzer. So that's a problem. So it's a total mess, but I think the Maverick mess is worse of a mess than the Phoenix Suns right now. So I am going to go bullshit. Bullshit or no shit number three. There is a market for Joey Bosa.
Bullshit. Bullshit. The guy even said he's done. The guy's only been playing for 10 years. And he's already admitted he doesn't have much left in this tank. He's not... His brother's better than him. He wants stupid money. I just don't foresee a situation where teams are cutting players like Tyler Lockett and, you know, Allen from the Commies, and they're going to want to spend money on Joey Bosa, who can't stay healthy. And it's unbelievable. Can you believe he's been in the league for 10 years? Can you believe that? I can remember when they drafted him. I cannot believe he's been in the league for 10 years. Nuts.
That goes to show you the impact that he's made in Los Angeles.
Right, the numbers aren't there. It's not like they were winning with him. Like, it's like, who?
And, you know, and in this current stance, right? In this current situation, it's absolutely no shit. Right? Because, like, they can, like I said to you in our production meeting, he plays and he projects as a complimentary pass rusher. Like, there is a market for that. There's not a market for the guy who overvalues himself. So, in that regard, what Joey Bosa thinks he is bullshit. There's no market for Joey Bosa who he thinks he is. For what he actually is, if he was willing to swallow his pride and say, "Hey, I can't do what I once did, but I can still be productive in the league." If you can do that, if you can make the transition in your mind and become a team player rather than the superstar, if you can be a cog in the wheel, there's absolutely a market for a guy who gets after the quarterback. There are guys that are better out there, but he absolutely could end up with another job. Not at the money, not at the terms he wants. What he's asking for, you invoke the name Reggie White. Yeah, a guy like Reggie, he wants Reggie White money. He wants Bruce Smith money. He wants Lawrence Taylor money. Dude, you ain't even Lawrence Welk. Fuck out of here with that shit. Yes, that's a very old reference, kid. But it's absurd. The level of disconnect between who he thinks he is and who he actually is. And it makes me wonder if this will fuel the union of the Bosa brothers. At first blush, I was like, and it's possible. I don't know. I really don't know if Joey Bosa is going to be able to live in the shadow of his baby brother. I just don't know. So, at the current rate, yeah, bullshit. I'm going to have to call bullshit. What's the market for a broken down catcher who can't get broken down pitcher who can't get anybody out? No. What's the going rate of a guy who can't stay on the field, and when he's on the field, he's not as productive as he used to be? The numbers and the tape doesn't lie. Sorry, Joey.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to the Fade Store with DNZ.com today and check out our releases in apparel, accessories, drinkware, and more. Ever wanted an Alleged Superstar t-shirt? We got those. You want some yoga pants? We got those too. And we're not done yet. We have a lot of exciting collaborations and new products on the way. But check out what we have now at the Fade Store with DNZ.com. That's the Fade Store with DNZ.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. We put up a poll on our X account at FadeRouteDNZ, our Instagram poll at FadeRoutePodcast, and now you can vote on our Spotify page. Go to this week's episode and vote on your Alleged Superstar.
The winner gets a shout out on this here show and takes home the coveted ass trophy.
Do you know who took home the lead superstar of the week this week, D?
I don't.
Joel Embiid. Surprising. Very, very surprising. But not undeserved. The process is a problem. The process has officially become...
The process is a problem.
The process has officially become a problem. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week? D.
All right. So first up, I've got wide receiver on the Jacksonville Jaguars, Christian Kirk.
Who?
Yeah, that guy. He was traded in division to the Houston Texans this week. They think so little of you, sir, that they've traded you to a person in their division because they think you can help them lose.
Oh, Jesus.
Christian Kirk, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. Number two, another guy who was traded this week, actually yesterday, Brad Marchand. Again, traded in division to the Panthers, who eliminated the Boston Bruins last year. They think so highly of you that they've traded you to a rival, to a team competing for the Stanley Cup with you, because they think that you will help them lose and not help your team lose. Him and Kachuk, that's going to be really interesting when that comes to fucking...
Oh my god.
Brad Marchand, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. And number three, Joey Boza. 10 years in the league, and you just got cut because you're terrible and you are constantly hurt and you still want to get paid big money. So your brother is better than you. Z thinks you're a complimentary player. I think you're a complimentary helper at McDonald's. But that's just me. Joey Boza, you are my Alleged Superstar of the Week. What do you got, Z?
All right, so here, let's put it this way. There's a running bet with J.J. Watt and his keeper at Burnley. If the starting keeper keep a clean sheet for the remainder of the season, and J.J. Watt will come out of retirement and go play for the Bengals.
That'd be cool.
Would you rather sign J.J. Watt, removed from retirement, or Joey Bosa?
Oh, that's awful. Oh, God. That's a tough one for me. I'm going to just take Joey Bosa because at least he played last year. I don't think Watt's played in like 3 years.
Yeah, but his body's healthy until he gets popped in camp.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Well, you know how that goes. I feel great, man. I feel great. And then
I love my life. I'm going to pick a fight. He's gotten better.
First camp day. It's over. Pop my hammy.
I popped my Achilles.
We're good. We're good. This is a good idea. This is a fun this is a fun promotional thing for Burnley. Like, I'm done. I got this great job at CBS. I'm just gonna keep doing that. Yeah, I gotta agree with you. Like, it would be a cool idea, but I think I would take Joey Bosa. He's still
right,
in
right?
The,
yeah, right?
I think so. Still gotta take the guy who's actually in football shape. My first pick for a Legend Superstar of the Week is Jimmy Haslam, owner of the Browns. Your best defensive player wants a meeting to discuss his future with the team. He's on record saying he would like to be traded. Your response? Fuck no. F no. We're not entertaining this. So you're saying you would rather have an extremely unhappy and cantankerous Myles Garrett on your roster. I don't think that's a smart play. Take the meeting, discuss what he wants, and who knows? You may be able to come up with some kind of compromise and actually keep him. Just throwing that out there. Like, God forbid we get into a room and try and talk out our differences. Jimmy Haslam, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, Dallas Mavericks. You lost Kyrie Irving, but that's not why you're on this list. Your owner, in their infinite wisdom, your ownership group decide they're going to raise ticket prices. You traded the franchise player, and then the guy you got back for your franchise player gets hurt. And now the other guy that you paired with the franchise player that you traded is now hurt. Yeah, now is not the time. You're sitting in 10th place. Now is not the time to... Yeah. No. What are you doing? Like, this is when you cut ticket prices. This is when you cut ticket prices. You don't raise ticket prices in this case. It's the absolute wrong thing to do. But in the past month, the Dallas Mavericks have done the wrong thing to possibly do every single time. Dallas Mavericks, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And then number three, just because he's a perennial contender on here, Rob Manfred. You gotta go with Rob Manfred here. I know we were talking about retiring him, but we just can't quit him. He just keeps doing stupid shit. Pete Rose does not belong in the Hall of Fame because he bet on baseball. Plain and simple. Don't even entertain this, and don't make it public. You just look like an idiot. That's it. Not all good press. Not all press is good press, Rob. More often than not, it makes you look like an idiot. Rob Manfred, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our X account at FadeRobDNZ. Go to our Instagram poll at FadeRobPodcast. Vote on our Spotify page.
And vote, and vote, and vote.
And for our nominee.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do Ben.
This has been the Fade Route with DNZ. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the Go Route. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.